Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, November 7, India. Victor, Victor. Activating the Fakir Amateur Radio Society General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4BA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fakir Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. Announcements for tonight. Let's see, where are we? 19th of January. I'm drawing a blank on anything except the club meeting coming up the second Thursday of next month. So if anybody has any other announcements that I'm forgetting, please call me now. KM4OZH. KM4OZH and 7IVV. Go ahead, Gil.
Oh, the fabulous Pharaoh breakfast is coming up at the end of the month. I don't know what the date is, but just thought of that. So there you go. Back to net.
Yes, thank you. That will be the 29th, which is next Saturday, not this coming Saturday. But anybody who's interested, everybody meets over at Wegmans at, somewhere between 8:30 and 9-ish, and goes until everybody's bored and goes home. However, bear in mind, with the current health situation still giving us grief, be wise in your decisions to get together in groups. Not that I'm... whatever the word is, the opposite of encouragement. It's obviously one of those nights. So anyway, just be careful in all the things that you do. But I know we all like to get together. So anyway, put that pencil that on your calendar. As for a topic tonight, I actually had a couple of things and decided that they really were better served in the technical net. One was with Yagi antennas, the difference between front to back and front to rear. Gain or sensitivity or strength or whatever you want to call it. And the other one was actually talking about high altitude balloon activities. A lot of those utilize amateur radio, but kind of pushes over more into the realm of technical discussions more than the general. Although I think actually if anybody has had any experience with that, I know Mike, KF4TEK, enjoys tracking balloons, and I know that that came up during our club meeting last week with the discussion with the 4-H. I think that's one of the things on their list of things they'd like to play with. So, and that's something that I've been thinking about for the last year or two as well. So we may look into that as a kind of a side activity for the club, or at least for anybody who might want to play with that. I guess the only thing that I thought we might talk about, I know I was not on the net Sunday, and I don't know how many of the rest of you were that were out playing VHF contests, but maybe those of you that participated in that could just give a quick report of what you did when it comes around your turn on the round table, how well you did, and anything memorable that happened. I know I don't remember how many contacts I made, but my score was just under 3,800 points, I guess. And I honestly don't remember how that compares to last year when I did this. And I'm a very casual participant in these types of contests. I don't plan for it, push for it. I kind of get involved in it, but casually by accident. And then get ramped up and start enjoying it more as the day progresses on Saturday. But I made probably more 6-meter contacts last Saturday and Saturday night than I think I probably have at least in any one day the whole time I've been a ham radio operator. and it was interesting. As I look back over the log, I was, frankly, I was shocked to see that there were four contacts, or maybe five, that were clear over in Texas. And, you know, I wasn't looking very closely at the grid square when I made the contact, and this was all FT8 mostly. I mean, I had a couple of local phone contacts on 6 meters, but, you know, virtually everything else was in Virginia and, you know, right around here within 100 miles, I guess. So Texas just, it really shocked me. And I know that 6 meters is known for that, and people do rather tremendous DX with 6 meters. So anyway, that was kind of my interesting experience there. So I guess let's go ahead and take check-ins, and then we'll let everybody else talk about their experiences there. Anyway, this is N7IVV with the Faro General Service Net taking check-ins now. Go ahead.
F4TK.
HTV. KN4SPL.
KU.
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot, Romeo.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar, Zulu Hotel.
AK4GG.
KX4KU, I'm mighty doubled.
KO4IUM.
KO4QBB.
Delta 8, Quebec, Charlie November.
KO4TV.
Okay, sounds like almost everybody on here was in the contest, or at least I worked you all. KF4TEK, Mike. K1HTV, Rich. KM4SPL, Bob. K3FR, Ron. KM4OZH, Gil. K4GG, John. KX4KU, Kevin. KO4IUM, Nick. KO4Q, yes, Quebec, Victor Bravo, I believe, Lewis. WDAQCN, Steve. And then the last one that came through, No, I didn't get right. I copied KO4 Charlie Uniform Victor, but that's not correct. What is it really?
Tango Utah Victory, Matt.
Okay. What a difference a phonetic makes, huh? Okay, you're over there in Oaksville. Very good one. Glad to have you with us tonight. All right, any other check-ins tonight? Go ahead and call now, please.
KO4NLR, check-in only.
Okay, KO4NLR, Bree, nice to have you with us. I'm assuming you'll be listening, but or not. Anyway, nice to hear you tonight. All right, well, let's go ahead and go on back up to the top and hear from Mike. And nice to have you with us tonight. So KF4TEK, go ahead, please.
Good evening, Brad. Everyone on the net, thanks, Brad, for doing the net. I actually had an operating question regarding FT8 because it's such an easy thing to get started in. But then after you go a little while, it's like you want to take it to the next step. So my question is, well, like a lot of FT8, well, I don't know who does this. My way of operating FT8 is I look for the pretty colors, and if I see a bright color, I double-click on it. And if I get lucky, I get a prompt for a log entry. And I know that WSJTX saves all this information because I quit it and I come back and some people are green, and every now and then a new pretty color comes up. And so after a while, just double-clicking on pretty colors gets, you want to know what's behind it. So like, the question is, what is the method that you use to understand wherever it is that WSJTX keeps all this information about what you've done? And what can you use to present it in a useful way so that you could say, oh, I'd like to work all states on 40 meters, or I'd like to work 100 countries on 17 meters, or I want to work 100 countries on any combination of bands. What software or method do people use to ask those kinds of questions of the data that WSJTX and perhaps other applications are saving on their behalf? So that's my operating question for this evening. Other than that, I handed out a few contacts on the contest on Saturday. I didn't really have time to participate with vigor, and otherwise just watching the weak signal scroll by on my screen when I come home from work and before I eat dinner. So that's about the extent of my operating for the last week. So that's it for me. Hope everybody's doing well. Stay safe out there, and we'll chat with you Sunday. KF4TEK, back to net.
okay, man, like, I know what you mean about the pretty colors, man, because that's what I like to operate mostly, oh, man. It's, like, really good stuff because it's, you know, I like the pretty colors, man. I actually prefer JTDX. Your question is going to be most likely answered in multiple pieces, and I know Rich will have a lot of rich input on this. Excuse the pun there. Rich input on this. I should say valuable input, huh? But the first thing that I would recommend for anybody who's using either WSJTX or JTDX is to install and use a program called JT Alert. And that is a companion program that goes along with, it works just really hand in hand with both of those programs and makes it really easy to answer and track exactly what you were asking. You know, I'd like to work all states. I'd like to work 100 countries on 17 meters. I'd like to, you know, whatever. And it's a very simple thing to do. And of course, I won't go into the steps to do that, but let's just say that it does. I can't ever remember the path where JTDX and JSTX, WSJTX, sorry, keeps the files, but there's a link on the file menu that will take you right to that. It's in the same directory with the rest of the program files for the programs. But it's just a basic log. It's literally a text log, very simple and straightforward. Of course, then you have all kinds of options where you can link over to whatever logging program you're using for your regular logging if you so desire. Personally, I have shifted over and I'm using DXKeeper for doing that. And between the settings in JTDX/WSJTX, telling it to use that log, and then using key, you know, of all, you know, what they say, of all the things I've lost in life, I miss my mind the most. What is it? TSQLT? Sorry, it's the secure key type program that goes along with your LOTW logbook of the world to secure your transactions, if you will, you know, with putting stuff in your database. Automatically will update your logbook of the world entries as well as your local log. And in doing that, of course, logbook of the world is also keeping track of your contacts. So you can go in there and look at your progress. And once you've actually gotten enough confirmed contacts, that's where, of course, you're going to go to get your awards anyway, your certificates. So it's all built. It's all built in there. So with all of that said, I'm going to pass the mic over to Rich and let him fill in the blanks and more than likely correct me on a couple of places because that's the way my brain works. And we'll go from there. So, okay, well, oh, and by the way, Rich, I'll be interested to hear how many, what your score was that you turned in. K1HTV and 7IVV, go ahead.
Brad, N7IVV from K1HTV. For the contest, I had my main 77-foot high 6-meter beam and 2-meter beam above it fixed to the northeast because the rotator failed. It has a problem, and Andy was going to come over to NRA on Thursday, but he was not able to, and a Comcast installer was supposed to come over and do some work at his house, and it was late and never showed up, and as a result, he was not able to come over here. So I stuck for the with the tower number one fixed to the northeast. So that left 2 meters pretty much northeast only and 6 meters northeast for the high antenna. But I did have another 6-meter antenna at 40 feet on the second tower, and I was able to rotate around. As far as the contacts, on 6 meters, made 258 contacts and 73 grids. 6 meters, 2 meters, I made 71 contacts and 17 grids. On 223.5 FM, made 7 contacts. And a couple of grids, and 446 made 13 contacts, and also a couple of grids. Total 349 contacts, 94 multipliers, and interesting that 46 contacts made in FM, 287 on FT8, and 15 on sideband. Should have spent more time on sideband, which I did not do. But anyway, a lot of the operating was done in my easy chair in the living room as I was watching TV, using the Android and VNC to connect to the downstairs computer. So it's one of these contests. That's why I spend more time on the FT8 mode. It's just it was kind of laid back and operating a lot of FT8 in the easy mode. Total score, 34,686, but 2,000 less than Mark K4SO. Regarding the colors on FTA, you can get to the colors and you can check them on or off by going to WSJTX, use the F2 key, which is the settings key, or file settings, just F2, and click on the colors tab, C-O-L-O-R-S, colors tab. You'll see a number of different messages, different things that you could check or not check. I normally check when my call is in the message. That's in kind of a red. Green is CQ in message. Blue is new call. Dark blue is new call. Light blue is new call on band. It goes right down the line. So during a contest, you generally want to check the call, the boxes. You uncheck the CQ grid. You can uncheck a number of other ones that don't apply to the contest, like DXCC on band or CQ zone or ITU zone. Uncheck all those. And then the only ones that when you work somebody, it'll pop up as a green after you work them if you call CQ. Blue, you work them. If it's a new grid, you can work them. So you turn off the colors you don't need for the contest and get to know which colors mean which things. Again, reach it by F2, the colors tab, and WSJTX. Now, what Brad said is right about using JT Alert. It'll help you track the countries you work, the states you work, the Canadian provinces. All these can be turned on or off. There are voice alerts, which can be turned on and off when a new one pops up overall or a new one on the band. Get to know how to use it, and it'll be your friend. Help work different countries, states, provinces, grids, etc. Brad, I also use the DX Lab Suite logger called DX Keeper, and the DX Keeper QSOs that I make are imported to LOTW and to EQSL and to QRZ, or the export, I should say. And the JT Alert software will use the WSJT, or will use the DX Keeper log to update its own log of contacts where it determines if it's a new state grid or et cetera. Anyway, JT Alert, read about that, get a logger program that works with it, and then you're on your way to hopefully easily tracking what you've worked, and it'll help you reach the certain awards that you're trying to reach. That's about it for now. Back to net control. And by the way, it's PQSL. I think those are the alphabet soup you're looking for, Brad. And 7IVV from K1H TV.
PQSL, of course. That's, it had the same letters, TSQL. I just really worry about myself sometimes. The colors. That's one of the reasons that I prefer JTGX. It's just a little more friendly there. And WSJTX has got a lot of features that JTDX does not have. I don't know. I have them both, and I use JTDX so infrequently that I forget how to do it. But anyway, as far as colors go, it ends up being too many as far as I'm concerned. Even though it seems like all I do is FT8 and FT4, I don't have the colors memorized, but because there's so many and it can become just visually confusing, I go in and I turn on or turn off the colors that represent stuff that I'm just really not terribly concerned about. And then I try to group them so that, the blue, the shades of blue or the shades of green or the shades of, whatever. And even then it becomes challenging to figure them out. But, is this a new call? Is it a new call in this country? Is it a new country on this band? Is it, it can become quite dizzying. So I really limit it and turn it down. And a JT Alert actually has a nice feature where it'll watch things and alert you. If it's a new state, for example, it'll actually tell you the name of the state. And if it's a new country, it just says new country because there's too many of them to actually announce the actual name. But the other feature that I use extensively with JTDX is I simply turn off. I don't show the people I worked before because I, frankly, don't want to work them again. It's an easy checkbox to turn it back on so that I can see who may be on the band, but I also have it so that it has a strike through on the call so that if it's displaying them, it still very easily shows that I've worked them before. So that helps, but also if I simply hide them, it makes it visually less confusing for me. And so that's, like I say, I prefer the visual part of the JTDX. That's just me. KN4SPL, I know you were working a contest there pretty good, and it's always fun to work you because we're like neighbors. Tell us your stories there for the day. KN4SPL and 7IVV, go ahead.
Good evening, Brad, and all on the net. This is KN4SPL. Bob and Bealton, yep, right next door to Remington. I had fun working the contest over the weekend. I really didn't keep track of scores or anything like that. It was more handing out points to people. But I will say, like Brad, I prefer JTDX. The only problem I have with it is I don't really think, at least I haven't figured out how to make it work for contests. I know WSJTX, you can definitely do the contest with the test in front of your call in CQ. I really was enjoying 2 meter contacts on FT8. Actually got pretty farther than I thought I could get, into Pennsylvania and way southern Virginia. So I thought that was pretty cool that a 2 meter transmission could get that far, and likewise be able to make a QSO. So I thought that was pretty cool. Besides that, I don't have too much to add. I just know more winter weather's coming, and so is the cold. So I have a bunch of antenna projects in the queue, which I think I'm going to have to put off till spring. Because it sounds like winter is going to be around for a while. So anyway, that's all I got for tonight. N7IBB, KN4SPL, back to net.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, I was really enjoying working 2 meters, especially since I have a beam, you know, that I put up, last year or something, and which is one that I had laying around, so I'm able to put it to use. And, of course, it's not optimal as far as height or anything like that, but yet it was still fun. I really enjoyed working 2 meter contacts, and I was surprised to see it was only 39. Contacts there. As I scroll through the list on my log, it looks more than that, but you know, you're absolutely right about the limitations of JTDX and contesting. That's one of the frustrations I have, because I'd really rather use that one, because I use JTDX so infrequently that I end up wasting 2 or 3 hours trying to remember how to set it up, and I never do that until the contest actually begins, because, you know, I'm just not a serious contester, so, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing Gil's. It's always so much fun to listen to Gil talk about and prep for and everything for these types of contests. But, so, yeah, you end up having to use JTDX because it actually has, it's been written and has the programming already in place, because although you can put, like you say, test in front of your call when you're sending a CQ out, contests usually they use a different set of acknowledgments going back and forth, different than the usual, you know, RR and RR73 and whatnot. It sort of streamlines it, and WSJTX has that all built in and automatic, whereas Well, because it's built into WSJTX, I've never bothered trying to even fudge JTDX to do it. So that's one of the strengths that it has over these others. So anyway, K3FR, Ron, I'm pretty sure I worked you, but I may be wrong. I know there's a number of calls out there that are very similar, and I was getting a little confused. So anyway, over to you, K3FR and 7IVV.
Well, in 7IVV, this is K3FR. Yes, we did work. We actually worked twice. We worked on both 6 and 2. Let me get off to the performance here in terms of the... I'm sorry, I'm walking around. Getting settled down in my best place over here, like right now. I can hit the repeater better from this point. I put in a full activity on the contest. I think probably about 28 hours or something like that. I did have intentions of trying to get up a little bit early on Sunday and maybe some meteor scatter, pick up a couple of multipliers that way. But my back was telling me that I needed to spend a little bit more time in a horizontal attitude. I ended up scoring, or I'm getting ready to submit. I haven't done it yet. Looks like 77 contacts on 6 meters, 17 grids, 80 contacts on 2 meters, 16 grids, and 8 contacts on 4.32 and 4.40. I should just say 70 centimeter, and 4 sections there. For a total of 165 contacts and 6,401 points for a raw score. Of course, we'll have to see how that comes out. And I know that I do have, and I probably want to address this as maybe get Rich to talk about this on a recheck, how to avoid getting dinged too badly for nils. Now, there were a couple of contacts that I'm a little bit suspicious of that might have been not long nils, I'm a little bit leery about removing them at this point. I know probably the best way to do it is do it as you're actually in the contest. Just say, okay, I'm going to give that one as a nil or a suspected nil and kill that contact as I'm going through the thing. Okay, and now I'll come back again. I haven't used JT Alert or TQSL. I just use WSJTX and watch the colors. The particular ones are pretty much like what Rich said is... look for the greens, blues, and sandy color because the sand color means it's a whole brand new grid that I've never worked before, period. And I look at the other color over the highlight of the call sign. The only one I don't try to work are the ones that are whitish-gray or the other way around, depends on which side of the fence you're standing on, I guess. Because those are the ones that you have worked during the contest. For following CQs, I actually spend more time watching the WSJT decode window that N1MM puts up for you. I think is more helpful. That's really helpful in terms of weeding out the CQs and getting them properly colored. And the colors transfer over. Okay, next topic, the VAQ QSO party, which will be coming up in about 2 months here. And I have been through it, and it's just, again, too, where I'm going to have to defer to Rich. How to load a contact or get a contact going in SJTX on FWVAQSO flight. Still is not very clean there for me because the QSO party needs serial number and section, province, county, city, GX, whatever. WSJTX doesn't have that particular matchup. The closest one would be the European QSO parties, but they require a six-character Maidenhead locator, but it does give you the serial number there. And then finally, one thing I do know is that I've been looking around for how to best try to work out some way to get people moved up the bands, to run the bands with certain people on WSJTX, FT8, whatever. There is a new protocol that's been proposed. I guess it came out from K1JT and the team. N0JK, John Jones, who writes the VHF contesting column for the NCJ, and as well as the World Above for 6 meters, World Above column for QST. He did talk about that protocol. I didn't. It was too quickly for me to actually adopt it, but I think that'll probably help a little bit in the future. So, back to the net. 7IVV. K3FR.
Well, no, you got the call right. You got the right order, so whether you meant to or not, that's the thing. Yeah, you mentioned, we did work twice, once on 6 and one on 2 meters. The one thing, I actually did have somebody during the contest that it really threw me at first because they had my call and then they had 6 numbers and I went, what the heck? I was like, that's bizarre. And finally I realized he was telling me to go to 430 whatever, 432 or whatever. I didn't even pay attention. I've never worked FT8 above 2 meters. I don't have the right antenna for it all. I guess I could use my satellite antenna and just take the hit on the gain. But it was just kind of interesting to see that. I guess that's one way to get people to do it. I definitely will defer to Rich on the VAQP and use of FT8 and whatnot. I know they've been working that out. I know last year they had some solution, and so I know that we'll cover that quite a bit more as the contest draws closer. KM4OZH, it's always so interesting, amusing, and amusing in a good way to listen to you work the contests, and especially, you just kind of keep on calling out there and late at night and everything. It was just kind of interesting to hear you. So that's sort of your stories there. KM4OZH, N7IVV.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. And yeah, I think I worked almost everybody that is on the net this evening. As folks were checking in, I said, work him. So that's all good. So you folks, I certainly appreciate it. And here I am. I'm this evening. I'm slumming on the Baofeng, except not on my high power mobile rig. So there you go. Anyway, I had a good time in this contest. And hey, and Brad, what were you saying? You like to hear me talk about preparations? My preparations started like in September. So that's just the way it is. But I guess it was a successful contest for me. I got shorted there on my lower grid square run because the snow came in, so I couldn't go to FM 17 and 07, but but that's all right. I did, and my so my grid count was from last January. My grid count was 26 grids this contest, and it was 24 last time. But my QSO was 184 this time compared to 167 last year. So, you know, it works out for, you know, a little over 6,000 points. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, of course, I've complained. Yeah, a lot of you folks have heard me whine about that. Yeah, I'm competing against the FTA guys and so forth because I'm all phone. Let me grab a nickel. All my operations are either sideband or FM. So, but that's the way I like it. And I may be forced into going some digital, but that's going to be another complication in talking to Rich and Bruce. There's another complication there of splitting up, doing some phone and some FTA. So, but guys gave me the weather reports and kept me on the straight and narrow, so I knew when to give it up and head for home. I know on Saturday night I debated real back and forth and changed my mind three times of whether to go to Pennsylvania, but I did. And so I worked, I activated Fox Fancy 10 and 00 and a piece of Fox Mike 19 when I was up in the mountains there. And it was 5 degrees. And my diesel, I've never had this problem before with it just sitting there idling, only running the alternator, not driving up the mountain. The temperature was so low, and the heat, I had the heat wide open, and I was still freezing. So that was the most uncomfortable I've been, but we'll have to deal with that with some kind of a blanket over the radiator or something or other if it gets that cold again. But anyway, I had a good time, and it was a good contest. And, you know, there was some other things in there involved, watching for the weather and the snow and making decisions about that. But all in all, it was all good. So, KM4OZH, back to Ned.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I was able to copy you on a number of your forays out into the deep darks there, but you couldn't hear me, so, oh well. Personally, I have a hard time understanding how some people can work FT8 when they're mobile, and some of them are actually driving when they do it. Not during the contest, but there's a fellow that works up here, and he's quite a character. But he's on. He's actually doing a lot of it when he stopped. But anyway, I when I'm sitting here at home, of course, I noticed the other during the contest there at one point I had four radios going at once, and I was actually trying to work all four of them. But, you know, FT8, of course, is just sitting here on the desk, and I can pick up and do the phone contacts with the other hand, and so that works out well. And I heard you, John, on there a couple times and couldn't get a hold of you, but how are you tonight? Go ahead, AK4GG and N7IVV. Listen, I got to step away from the mic, so kick it over to KX4KU when you're finished. N7IVV, go ahead.
Yeah, roger that, Brad. Yes, unfortunately, you're in the dirt at my end. I could barely hear you. But, of course, my setup is pretty poor. I've got radios balanced on the edge of the pool table here, and I've got an internal antenna. And surprisingly, I got out. I made a whole 19 contacts, 133 points. And give you some idea of my setup anyway. But I did manage to work Gell a couple of times, gave him a few points and a couple of points, and actually all three bands for Dwayne, KK4BZ, who must have been in the next street, I'd say, for me to actually contact him. Longest, I guess, was 6 meters to Infrare in West Virginia, and a couple of Marylanders on 6 meters. My first foray on 6 meters, I was surprised my poor antenna, it is 6BKW, but it's not meant for 6 meters. But I did manage to tune it with the external tuner, so that was pretty impressive. I was astonished. I think I heard KNET4SPL, Bob, once or twice too, and of course Gil as he was driving around, but I did manage to catch Gil eventually. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was very casual about it. And I think the biggest thrill was trying to, well, 6 meters, I guess, as well as entering my Cabrillo format into the ARRL robot. I think that took me at least two odd hours. Haven't done much else. I've been looking online for videos on raising masts. I've got a mast that I'd like to think about raising tower this summer if I can get around to digging big holes and pouring concrete and all that jazz. But first of all, I'd like to actually get out of this pool table and actually build a shack somewhere and put all the stuff into a shack, because this is pretty hokey trying to do anything. My VHF antennas about 2 feet away from my nose at the moment, hanging down from the heating vent. So I'd say J-pole. So it's all pretty poor, and yeah, I apologize to people I couldn't get hold of during the contest. Anyway, that's enough from me. KX-K4U, I think. KX-4KU, yeah. AK-4GG.
AK-4GG, KX-4KU in the neck. Thanks, sir. I did not participate in the VHF contest. I was working the CW contest that was on Saturday. Wanted to get back to some of Mike's questions. I'm not sure how you work there, Mike, but first off, JT Alert is wonderful if you have Windows. I don't know if you're running Windows stuff or Linux stuff. I know you're a big Linux guy. That's why I put that caveat out there. The question is, how does it now? Would it basically, would WSJTDX and JTDX and WSJT, it keeps its own ADI formatted file. That's its log, and that's what it uses. So, say I'm just starting out. Like, if I move my settings to another PC and put a fresh install in, I could actually export my entire log and just rename it WSJTX underscore log or .ADI. And it would use that. It's an ADI file that it uses to keep track and what colors to display. In both WSJTX and JTDX, which I use interchangeably, you can change the colors to what you like. The nice thing in WSJTDX, sorry, I almost timed myself out. WSJT is that you can move the priorities around. So if you're looking for only worked all states and you get a new state, then you can move that to the top of the list so that gets triggered first. So you can play around with that. You don't have that option in JTDX. And, you know, so I make the colors, like if there's a new DXCC on there, I think I have it turned purple, so I know when I'm working on a Linux version. If I'm using Windows, I'm using JT Alert. I used JT Alert before FD8 with JT65, so I'm a long-time user of that. But unfortunately, there is not a Linux version of that, and nor there will be. So you kind of, when you're working in Linux, have to depend on that. And in Windows, that file, that ADI file, and the log file are kept in your username, apps, local, WSJTDX, or JTDX. It puts a folder in for each down in that part of your user account directory. And in Linux, it's in .local.share in your home directory, and that's where those files are kept. So you wanted to know where they were, and you wanted to know how it worked. And so other than that, I've talked enough. Hopefully Brad is returned from taking care of his personal business there, and I'll turn it back over to him. And 7IVD, KX4KU, back to that.
Oh, yeah, actually, I had to run up to Bealton and pick up a pizza from Little Caesars and come home in the time you guys were talking. actually, it's the app data folder in Windows, app data, local, and then JTDX or JSTDX. Actually, it's in the JTDX folder. That's interesting, because I'm looking at the might as well just give this up tonight. There's too many letters. JTDX. Yeah, never mind. I'm okay. Nick, KO4IUM, go ahead.
And 7IVV, this is KO4IUM in the net. Did a little bit of casual operating for the VHF contest. I originally had plans to set up, actually had fully set up my vehicle as a mobile to go out and try doing three band mobile and go up to Shenandoah, and we had some family members here at the house that were sick and requested that I not disappear for the entire day into the evening. So I ended up staying home. Gave me a chance though to do some with Bree, so we kind of just did a multi-op under my call sign and worked some stations kind of casually. Claim score 705, total of 46 QSOs, the majority of those on 6-meter FT8, and then a handful of FM contacts on 2 meters and 70 centimeters towards the end of the contest. On the WSJTX question that was brought up, I don't think I heard anybody mention it. I really like Grid Tracker, actually, for a supplemental to WSJTX. Not as much on the contesting, but on just general day-to-day FT8, FT4 operations, and for DXCC and awards of that nature. I really like that. Gives the visual of the DX countries that you're reaching into. And rather than having to remember which colors mean which things in WSJTX or JTX Alert, it's got a nice diagram, a nice chart there that as calls come in and you can filter what you're looking for specifically, it'll actually tell you whether it's a new DXCC or a new ITU or whatever the case may be. So that's usually what Bree and I use when we're doing FT8, just day-to-day, and then N1MM for contesting. I think somebody commented it makes it really nice just to have that the N1MM FT8 display there that's just showing new contacts as they come in and specifically calling out ones that are worth additional multipliers. So that's all I have for the net. KO4IUM, back to net.
Okay, sir. Yeah, it can get a little dizzying because there seems like there's so many programs out there. Luckily for FT8, there's not a huge number of them, but there's just enough that it can get a little befuddling. Anyway, KO4QVB, N7IVB, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, M7IVB. This is KO4QVB. I'm out of Woodbridge, and as I was talking with Nick earlier today, I have a new radio I'm trying to get set up and programmed, and took this opportunity to make the net this evening. So like to see how I'm coming across, and I'd appreciate it very much. So this is KO4QVB back to M7IVB, back in that. Thanks, sir.
Okay, Lewis, and I apologize. I never seem to remember to give my name. My name is Brad, and I need to do that before I start the net, although 99% of the people on here know me. But name is Brad, and you sound great. Full quieting as far as I'm concerned, and good signal. So very good. And stop by anytime. We do these nets Wednesdays and Sundays at 8 p.m. So love to hear from you. WD8QCN, Steve, go ahead.
7IVV in the net, WD8QCN. Good evening, Brad. Good evening, everyone. Good to hear everyone on tonight. I've been poking around FT8 and FT4 here, working everything I can hear on 40 meters for the most part on FT4 at the moment. Managed to work Indonesia earlier in the day here on, I guess that was 30 meters. First time in a while I managed to work Indonesia. I think about 4 months. It's been rough hitting that corner of the world for me. But since the days are starting to get longer again here, managed to work them and finally got them confirmed. So added another country. So happy about that. And let's see. I had a another item for the net here. And anyone on those KJ4 PVI, Greg, up in Clark, he says that the sheriff's office and the volunteer fire department up there are having trouble with interference into their repeaters, and it sounds like it could be a sweeper or maybe some intermod, and was wondering if anyone on the net here might have a portable spectrum analyzer we could go up there and check that out with. I have some experience in tracking down such nasty animals, but don't have the equipment at the moment here. I'll throw it back to you, Brad, N7IVV, WD8QCN.
Okay, Steve. Well, I'll leave that answer about the spectrum analyzer to rechecks here in just a minute. KO4TUV, is it Matthew or Matt over there in Oaksville? N7IVV, go ahead.
N7IVV, KO4TUV, it's Matt. Matt works fine. Matthew. Nothing much to report on this side. Just be careful when you're out in the morning. Snow's supposed to start about 7. So 7 through 10 might get a little messy. Back when I... N7IVV, KO4TV.
Okay, Matt, thanks for that. I'm just updating the log so that the next time you check in, it pops up and says Matt instead of Matthew. Yeah, I was just double-checking the weather forecast, and I see it is, at least here in Remington, they're talking about a little over an inch tomorrow morning sometime, a quarter of an inch of rain or more tonight, and then snow tomorrow morning, and then warming back up again a little bit. And, yeah, it's it's been an interesting winter, and it looks like it's not in any huge hurry to quit, so it's going to be cold this week. And actually, we are now at the end of the list, so open this back up again for additional check-ins or rechecks. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
K1HTV, recheck.
W8BT.
N1BED.
Fire.
Recheck. N1BED. Stormio Echo Echo.
Okay, Rich, I've got you with a recheck, W8BT. I'm not talking to you because you can never hear me during contest. N1BED, I got you, and I can never remember your name. Is it Sammy? And I didn't get enough of your call to remember what it is. And I think there might have been somebody else in there. So, Sammy, go ahead, and then anybody else that I missed, check in, please.
It's me, Sim, Sierra India Mike. Sim in Springfield, Virginia, just checking in. Nice to hear some activity on the VHF contest. And I think I heard someone mention 70 centimeters and 6 meters. I'm going to have to set up a VHF sideband station up one of these days to join the fun. That's all I have. Don't want to hold up the net any longer, so I'll turn it back to you, Brad, from KD4REE.
Okay. Simba. That's what I was missing there, so Sim. KD4REE. Yeah, I had to scroll back down through the log and say, oh, there it is. Okay, well, let's go back up to W8BT and hear from you. And I know you were working the contest some, but it seemed like everybody else can work you simplex, but I couldn't quite pull it out. So anyway, over to you. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. This is W8BT.
Brad, I actually heard you Sunday morning, and I called you about three times on 146.52. I guess we had the morning propagation going, but you didn't come back. I think that was my one shot to work you, because I heard other people working you as well, but just couldn't pull you out of the noise. We've got, I guess, not a whole lot of terrain features. I think it's more just distance and a little bit of terrain. Yeah, I didn't do too much. I think I had 12 contacts, and most of those were a gill. I think I worked in, on 2 meters and 440, FM. I did FM only, but, in two grid squares. So, and I think I did do a couple of mobile contacts, but I don't know if that counts separate. That's actually one of the questions I had. Does... if I go, I went rover for about a mile going down to the store. I don't know if that works actually in the VHF contest. Didn't think about it until afterwards. So I don't know if that actually would count. I worked Gil and Dwayne, KK4BZ. But yeah, that's about it. I didn't do a whole lot. It was too cold out there to be putting up antennas, so. I just did FM only, 2 meters and 440. Pretty much QRP most of the time. Anyway, that's it. W8BT, back to net.
Okay, Travis, thanks for that. I believe the answer is there's no point benefit to being mobile versus fixed, but the benefit is that you count as a second call is if you're working either each of those. Because I know that when I started the contest, I had to run into Culpeper, and I just got on and picked up, half a dozen contacts on Simplex while I was mobile. And so I was technically N7IVV/R, and then I got home, and then I was just plain old N7IVV. And so those got submitted as separate logs, and I got counted as two separate calls and that kind of thing. So you kind of get double duty there, but yeah, you don't get any